This is George.
And this is Donna.
And this is currently with George and Donna. So, at the end of the last episode, we left off screaming, yelling.
An excitement
over that.
We don't want to tell you too much about why, but just know that we're continuing our What Happened Over the Summer series.
Extravaganza.
But we're doing it on November 2nd. And as of right now, it was something where we did not have power for a while and we got power back. But you're going to have to keep listening to find out why we didn't have power. But for now, we're continuing what happened in the summer.
So, we just finished your birthday.
Yeah. Bada bing, bada boom. Birthday's done.
You had a good time.
I had a great time.
George did good.
It was never what I would have expected my 40th birthday to be. But because of the pandemic, it ended up being better than I ever thought it could be.
Nice.
So, it ended up being great. I loved it. It was magnificent. And I have a birthday present coming. That's a combo of birthday, anniversary, and Christmas present that's coming that I'm super excited about. That's really going to be my birthday present. So anyway, let's move on with the summer. So July. We're still in July. My birthday was July 1st.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing super crazy important happened in July except for more stay-at-home stuff. And then all of a sudden, we went on two trips.
Yes. I said, you got a new car?
Oh, that's what I was going to say. I was like, oh, I didn't say, I got a new car. I got a new Mazda, which I really love. I had to get a new car because I'm a real estate agent. And on my other car, I was putting too many miles on it. And it was kind of the type of car that would have been too expensive to maintain long term. Yeah. So I was like, I got to get a car that's easier to maintain. So I got a Mazda CX-5. How do we feel about it, George?
It's pretty awesome.
We love it.
It's pretty cool.
And it's like this beautiful candy apple red color. It's really pretty. And so anyway, we loves it. And we went on two road trips with it.
I said, let's put it on the road.
He did. Yeah, he did.
So we did. First thing we did, we went to Tennessee. Mm-hmm. See your family. Mike and Tina.
No. Yeah. You're right. I don't know why I'm saying no. You're right.
I'll wait.
You're right. I was like, no, we drove through Georgia first, but that was the second trip.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry. You're right.
So we went there.
We went kayaking.
Yes. We went to go do a fun little trip.
Oh. Tell them what happened during our kayak trip.
Okay. So we went to Tennessee to go see your family, and we had some outdoorsy stuff planned.
Mm-hmm.
We went to do, one of them was an awesome trip of kayaking, which was pretty cool. So it is everything that your wildest dreams can be fulfilled with when you want to just do a cool weekend kayaking trip with your family. Mike planned it, and we each, you know, he got the kayaks ready. So we get there and everything's good to go. Like, we're ready to go. Kayaks are ready. Everything. Everybody gets to choose their own kayak. I choose one that I think is going to be really good for me to store my stuff. I got my drone backpack, my adventuring backpack ready.
It's the quote-unquote sportiest kayak that they have. Sportiest. Right?
The one that I chose?
Yeah. The one that the it was white, right? The one that you were on that day?
Yeah, no, but that's not the one that I chose.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, yeah, you chose a different one.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, you got it.
Yeah.
So it's not the one I ended up with, is what Donna's saying.
That's right.
And so
you chose a good one.
Yeah, and it's really awesome for the first part of the trip, but my niece is chose more one that's more used for whitewater rafting than long trips.
She chose the quote-unquote sportiest kayak.
Yes.
It's meant for whitewater rafting.
Yeah. And so it's really hard to maneuver with. And so I just decided to, when we had a stop, I could tell she wasn't really enjoying herself. And so I switched out with her, you know, because I'll enjoy everything.
Yeah, because, okay, so the kayak that my niece did choose, it's meant for constant maneuvering. It's meant for going over rapids. And so you're constant in a never-ending battle with the water and in maneuvering it with the paddles. Well, we're just on a river trip. There's no rapids. We're just on a beautiful, slow, calm river trip. The kayak wanted to keep turning around, like do a 180 on her. Mm-hmm. It would have caused her to constantly be moving those paddles 100% of the time. And so, she, like George said, it was a lot. And so George, as gracious as he is, was like, let's switch kayaks because you're not enjoying yourself. So he gets in it. And what did George have to do? Constantly maneuver that kayak.
Yeah, but you know what? It was an adventure.
It was.
And so we're having a grand old time, beautiful views. And Mike and Tina are in one of the bigger canoes, basically, where they have most of the
equipment and stuff and
food,
drinks.
So we stop at one point. We start grilling some burgers. I get to fly my drone a little bit. So we do a little tiny hike. It was just a really nice time. Mm-hmm. And then on the second half of the trip.
Wait a second. I skipped a rock. I skipped a rock for the first time in my life.
Tell them about it.
I thought that rock skipping was fake. I thought it was just something in the movies that like quicksand, like you know how when you're little you think quicksand is like gonna be this culprit in your life, like maybe one day you walk into work and all of a sudden quicksand.
Mm-hmm.
You're never gonna run into quicksand in your entire life, never. But you think from cartoons and stuff that's gonna be a big deal. Well, I was just like, skipping rocks is fake, like the cartoons. Nobody can really do it. And all of a sudden, Mike skipped a rock. And then you skipped a rock. And I was like, wait, this is real. I need to learn how to skip a rock. Long story short, I skipped a dang old rock. I did it. I was super proud of myself. I was shown how to do it properly. And subsequently, I skipped a rock.
Nice.
That's it.
True story. So as we continued on our trip, I was kind of getting a little bit tired because my canoe was my kayak had.
It was exhausting. It was just doing backing up on you the whole time.
Yeah, and so we decided to hook up to the big canoe, and so we get to this part in the river where there's a kind of somewhat the current's against you, and you got to do this sharp turn, and so my canoe does the only thing that I could describe it as on the turn flippity floppity.
It was like DuckTales, ooh, and he starts going in a tailspin,
and I'll flip out of the water, and that water is freezing.
Yes, even though it was July, that water was ice cold, y'all. It was like somebody dumped some ice in it, for real.
So I pop up, and my legs touch the ground right away, so I don't get too worried, but the current's a little strong. And Donna and Katie are there to the rescue. And I hook up in between both of them. I give them my phone, which I had on me. And I kick, I lay on my back, basically. And I let, like, kind of, like, float. Because I learned that from a whitewater rafting trip. What you don't want to do is have your legs straight down or kind of in a position that they could get stuck or cut. You lay on your back and you stay above water. You kind of float like a log, basically.
Feet first.
Yeah, with your toes up and nose up. And so, you know, I just get like that and I get used to the water, you know, temperature. And then we find a bank to come into and we kind of get our bearings back from that. And then we continue on our trip. But it was awesome. It was beautiful views. Very nice day.
Yeah, Mike cooked lunch for – Mike has this little – a little grill that just you punch into the ground, basically.
Yes.
It's a little metal grill that you can put anywhere.
Yeah,
and
it's called a man's grill.
And you just light a small fire under it, and boom, you got lunch. So we parked our kayaks on the side of the river, and he just put that into like a rocky piece of soil, and he cooked us burgers.
Yep.
Right out there on the open.
Yeah, halfway through the trip was when that happened, and that was really cool. So it was just a nice, really nice day.
Yeah, it was a really gorgeous day. And we got to hang out that weekend with my little grandnephew, Ronan.
Ronan.
Who is a hurricane. He is a little, he's a mile a minute. He's nonstop. He's into everything. He's tons of fun.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's the first trip. So then we drove 8 hours almost from New Orleans to Tennessee. We did that whole thing. Then we drove back. Then a week later, yeah, it was a week. George is like thinking like, was it a week? It was a week. It was the very next week. We drove again. We packed up the car again and we drove from here to Georgia first. That's how we started our trip. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so on the way to Georgia, I decided to split up the trip by staying at this beautiful little cottage, Airbnb Delight. It was a delight via images on Airbnb. But when we get there, it just didn't. There are certain things that you can't tell from photos about the Airbnb. What were some of those things? I think you mentioned them once or twice or three times to everybody that we hung out with.
Yeah. Here's what you can't tell from a photo. Smell. You can't smell a photo.
Yeah, which doesn't bother me because I don't have a sense of smell or a strong one.
He's lucky. So we get to this little place, and I will give it this. It was just as charming and delightful as the Airbnb pictures portrayed it visually. But we got into it, and it smelled of mold and mildew. And I have a super sensitive sense of smell. I couldn't sleep, y'all. And this is not me being a diva. Trust me. I grew up in the trailer park, and I've been through Hurricane Katrina. I'm not a diva deep down. I'm not. I do enjoy some bougie things in my older age, but I am not a diva. I'm not better than anybody else. Like, seriously, my lights got turned off on me when I was a kid more than once. Like, did not grow up with money. This place smelled of mold and mildew to such an extent for a person with a super sense of smell like me, I could not sleep. That's not all that a Airbnb picture does not show you. It does not show you sound. This little charming, beautiful, picturesque cottage was right next to a trucker highway. So for the whole night, there was just truckers blowing their 18-wheeler horns and, like, I guess stopping for rest on the side of the highway to where their engines were going and, like, screeching noises and people taking off really fast. It was right next to the highway. So all night long, I'm smelling this overwhelming scent. And y'all, it did remind me of Hurricane Katrina because I did have to go back and clean up stuff after Katrina, like my personal stuff that had been salvaged. I had to go get it and collect it, and it all smelled of a certain type of mold smell, and that's what I was smelling. So maybe I was having a little PTSD on that. PTSD on that. That same smell that I was smelling, maybe it just didn't sit right with me. But even if the smell wasn't there, y'all, the noise all night long. I asked George in the morning, because I know he can't smell. So I said, so if it wasn't for the smell, like, you slept, he's like, I slept fine. I said, all them truckers all night long. And he was like, nope, I was fine. I'm like, okay, fine. All right, then I'm the weird one. Anyway, that was only for one night that we had to stay there. I'm still thankful to George for trying to book it. It didn't work out, but picture-wise, he did get it on point.
Swing and a miss.
Picture-wise, you did get it on point. And I do, in George's defense, the reviews on that place were not bad.
No, yeah.
It had good reviews. Yeah, everybody did think it was as charming as it looked in the pictures. Nobody commented on the all-night trucker fiasco and the smell, though.
Yeah, but they also didn't go during the trucker convention.
That's true.
So, the trucker noise convention.
Anyway, what happened next?
Where they just try to make noise.
Like, They're like, it's 2 a.m. What can your truck do?
It got this clackety sound that will really rile you up. Then after that, we went to go meet a really good friend of mine, Brian, and his wife, Chelsea, at their house. I've been typically, for the last couple of years, I've seen Brian at least once a year to do Gen Con, and it was canceled this year. And so it was just around the time where it was okay to kind of travel a little bit on the road and go to different states. And so we decided to do that. And so it was great to see him. He was very hospitable.
They were so sweet.
Super sweet.
And their dog.
Yes. That was, and I got to say, I really like Brian. And I really like Chelsea. But their dog.
Their dog, Emma, is
a delight.
A baby angel dropped straight down from heaven.
And she is drama girl.
No, she's not. No, she thinks we're drama. No, she's like, I am just trying to live my life.
The look she, when they, anyway, we'll get into a little bit. But at first, I knew they had a dog. But when she came around that corner the first time we saw her, we both were like, whoa.
I threw my purse. I brought a big old purse with me, like an alligator skin purse. And I know it's kind of tough and sturdy. I just threw that in front of my body. I was like, if she's going up on me, this purse is going to catch her.
But
catch her claws.
The reason she
but
was
she
like
that. But she
never
did because she's huge. Because
she loves very hard.
But sweet.
Super sweet. She just wants to be loved and wants to love. And we got to spend a couple of days with them before we headed to the second part of the trip. But it was really enjoyable. So they did something kind of cool for us. We did a wine tasting via was Zoom or Facebook, right?
Zoom.
Yeah. And so they had this ready where you get the bottles of wine ahead of time, and then there's the person on the screen walking you through each bottle of wine. And so that was so much fun.
Mm-hmm.
Because unlike if you were at a real wine tasting, which we've been to before, or late recently we went to one, you can't really like talk, you know, in between or crack jokes and things like that. But it was a really cool experience in the sense that you were able to talk and crack jokes and comment and make comments that you wouldn't normally do in live person while this guy's educating you on the wine and you're learning a good bit from it. So I thought that was really fun. And I want to do something like that again.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
But Emma was the highlight of that trip.
Yes.
That beautiful, beautiful dog.
We took a hike with them. I'm going to keep it short. They said it was a very easy hike.
My boy Brian chose the coolest place for a hike because I told him, hey, he's like, what kind of experience you want? And I was like, dude, surprise me. Show me. You know, I'm really looking forward to just doing some real. And he's like, dude, I chose a place that has a little bit of everything.
So basically they chose a threat level midnight intense. what is Ski Slopes ratings? Like
Bunny Hill?
No, that's for the kids. It's like a red something. I don't know. They chose the most intense one that I could have done. For them, it was a walk in the park.
Not a walk in the park. It was tough.
Everybody was over 5'9". 5'9", except for me. So they're all just traversing over these limbs and these. I'm saying limbs. They're traversing over these downed trees like they're little pebble stones where I have to physically hoist myself up over a log that's there because I'm 5'2", and it's in my way. So I'm using my whole... It's a whole body experience for me. For the rest of them, it's like, do-do-do-do-do.
What was really cool about this hike was... He hit it right on the head because it was flat at first, then tall grass. Then we get into like a jungle-esque kind of location. Then it's like little creeks that you have to jump on rocks to get over without getting wet. And then like little logs you had to like traverse like in the movies. Then it got into straight up bouldering. And then the payoff was fantastic with this waterfall. It was amazing, but yes, it was ended up being very difficult.
It ended up being almost a vertical climb at the end. I was almost doing a rock climb at the end. But I didn't, every one of them ate bagels. Well, I just told y'all I'm 5'2", and my body's shaped like a blueberry. So I don't eat a lot of carbs. I try and make it a point not to eat a lot of carbs, except for lately, but we'll get into that later. And so they all ate bagels for breakfast, and I was like, oh, I'm just going to have some almonds. Girl. Mm-mm. You try and hoist all the 30 pounds of this booty over a tree log on some almonds.
Praise you, Jesus, for that 30 pounds.
Be quiet. Be quiet. That's inappropriate. Anyway, it do not work out. So I was about up to pass out on the top of that mountain. And that's the end of that trip story for that part. We got down. I made it safe. I did the whole climb. I was proud. I give myself a hard time, but I did make the whole hike. I was proud of myself. Got up, got down, no problems. But then we went on to meet up with my sister again and her boyfriend again. And they met us with George's friend, Brian and Chelsea. They met us in northern Georgia, close to Knoxville. Chattanooga.
Yeah.
Rising Fawn, Georgia. And we had this awesome Airbnb. Yeah.
So, redeemed myself on the choice of Airbnb with sure this Airbnb at Lookout Mountain. And it was glorious. And so the idea was, you know, we've been away from friends and family for so long. Wanted to have a weekend with people we could trust that were, you know, being responsible, cleaning them hands, you know, trying not to be around a lot of people. And so we went for like a weekend gaming extravaganza, and it was pretty awesome. We split it up with yet another hike in between there, a little bit more doable for all of us. But it was just a great time of hanging out with friends, not wanting to go to sleep because you're gaming and having so much fun, board gaming, and just spending some quality time with people. We ate a lot. It was just one of the most memorable trips that I've ever had because, you know, the vision that I had for just a cool weekend came to life with a beautiful view, and everybody just was happy to be there, just happy to hang out, which was really nice.
So then... to quickly add, so George and I had to make the trip back home. Well, we decided we had 2 days left. We weren't going to go straight back. We decided to stop in Florida.
Yes. So that was more a little bit impromptu. Yeah. We had 2 extra days on my vacation.
So I found a hotel and we last minute.
Yeah. We stayed at a beautiful place in
Pensacola. And we went to the beach for a day, which was really nice. Like, we got sun. We went in the ocean. It was a beautiful day. It was plenty of people out there.
Yeah, the temperature was good for the water.
Water temperature was perfect.
It wasn't cold, so it was nice to get in and out. I love that. I hate cold water or anything like that's like shocks you a little bit before you get, you know, acclimated.
Yeah.
I love to just go in the water, be like, enjoy, and then come back out and not feel too much of a difference. Other than that, it refreshes you, you know?
And I was telling George, like, I grew up going to that part of Florida when I was little. Like, we didn't take extravagant family trips when we were little. But my Aunt Libby and my mom always made a point to take us somewhere every now and then. And we would go to the Panhandle in Florida a lot. So... you know, the Pensacola area, like, we would really frequent. We went to, what's the other area? Panama City Beach. Oh, I'm sorry. I just said we went to Pensacola. We went to Panama City Beach.
Right.
Yeah. So we went to Panama City Beach together, but we would go to Pensacola also.
And then Destin, right?
In Destin, Florida. Yeah, so I'm sorry. We went to Panama City Beach on the way back from Georgia.
Yeah.
I grew up going to that place, so it was kind of cool to see, like, the old little, little golfing, like, putt-putt places. Oh, here's the sad part thing. Everything was closed because of COVID. But the little putt-putt places and the little... everybody knows what a seaside little souvenir shop looks like. You know, they have them on the East Coast and the West Coast, too. like, you know, it's like the little places where you can get seashells and buy swim shorts and goggles and beach towels and stuff. So a lot of those places were closed, and it was a little sad to see it closed, but it was still fun to go. We got to go eat at a seafood shack type of place. That was fun. So we just hung out for like a day and a half, and then we came home.
Yeah. It was a great, great trip. We made it back safe and soundly. And so that was like a good highlight of the summer as it started to wind down. We did a lot more pool time here at the house. And then we had like a little get together for me for my birthday, which is all I wanted.
September. Let's move into... Oh, no, we're skipping. We're skipping August.
No, August was this trip.
Nope, it was July. Into the first week of August. So for the rest of August, there was something big that happened for me and for you. But we knew about it around April or May. I had a cruise scheduled with my sister that got canceled in the beginning of the summer. But we had a Bahamas cruise scheduled in August. And we got the notification. It was canceled. We could not go on our Bahamas cruise. So what did me and my sister do? We scheduled a virtual Bahamas cruise. So I put the Bahamas logo up on my TV in the living room, and I took pictures in front of it. Because you know how every time you go on a cruise, you they always want you to take pictures when you're getting on the boat. So I put their little logo up, and I took pictures. And my sister subsequently was taking pictures at her house in Tennessee. And I sat out by my pool, and we had a little fake cruise. And we drank wine, and we just talked via FaceTime. And it was amazing. Why was I going on that cruise, you ask? Because George had a party scheduled for himself at the same time. And that's why I scheduled the cruise. What was it?
GeorgeCon?
Yeah. Oh, wait. I'm sorry. That was in April, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was back in April.
Did we talk about that already?
No, we didn't.
For some reason, I thought it was during Gen Con. But you had Gen Con scheduled.
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry. This took place way early. Oh, I know what it was. Tina and I were trying to reschedule our cruise for August, reschedule something for August, and it didn't work out. That's right.
Gotcha.
That is right. That's what I'm thinking of. Girl, my mind. Anyway, so I don't think I've ever talked about this, though, that we did a fake cruise. Have I not talked about it?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either. So we did a fake cruise. We were trying to reschedule something, and it did not work out. At one point, Tina was like, let's reschedule a New York City trip. And that sure did not work out. Because New York City is on lockdown, girl. Nothing is happening there.
Nothing.
So, another thing that happened for me in August was I got a bunch of COVID tests. Have you ever been tested for COVID, George?
Nope.
I was. You want to know why?
Clean as a whistle.
Okay. That was upsetting. You want to know why I was tested for COVID?
Yes, I'd like to know, but I also like to be ignorant. So I guess at this point, it's safe for me to you to tell me. Because I wouldn't ask. You're like, I'm going to get tested for COVID. I'd be like, all right, see you later.
So the reason why was I was like, oh, my real estate stuff slowed down for a tick. I'm going to do the filming, like the production stuff back in Louisiana came back. So if you wanted to be like an extra in a movie or whatever, if you had extra time on your hands, you could do that. But they require you to have a COVID test almost every day. So I had my first ever COVID test, not because I thought I had COVID, but because I had to. It wasn't fun, I have to say. They stick a thing in your nose. They wiggle it around. They wriggle it.
I don't know what's not fun about that.
But it's not just like, okay, a picture like a Q-tip, like a like soft, cottony Q-tip. Just put it in your nose and wiggle it around. It's not like that. It's a scrapey type of thing, like a pipe cleaner, it feels like. Yeah. And they put that. in my nose and wiggled it around. And I was like, okay, I don't like it. So I had to have that done. Turns out I never had COVID.
Good.
Another thing I had to go through starting in August was my aligners. I had some crowding on my lower teeth that I didn't like, that my dentist has been telling me about forever. And he's been like, you know, you got some crowding on your lower teeth. You want to keep your teeth healthy. You don't want them to get too crowded. So I decided to do a aligners on my bottom teeth. Not comfy. So I just self-imposed all these things on myself in August, starting in August. I don't know what I had going on in my mind, but I started those things. Then September came. Then it was your birthday.
Yes, and we just had a pizza party, pool party by the house. And then we tried to do two so we can get like I don't know why we did two, actually, to be honest.
We had a movie night. Here's what happened.
Yeah.
See how your memory fails?
No. We did have a pool party, pizza party.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So we had a movie night. And we were like, oh, everybody come over for this movie night. And everybody did. And the mosquitoes were out in full force. A week later, I was like, y'all don't forget, I'm still having George's birthday party this weekend. And everybody's like, but we just came to your house. And the mosquitoes. And I think we did also have a storm scare that week of your birthday.
Yes.
So everybody was like, we don't know. But everybody did come out the week before your birthday and spent time with you and had a movie night. That was the...
I didn't really have that many expectations. It's just a crazy time.
That was the Goonies night, right? Everybody came out to watch Goonies.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun.
Yeah. And we were going to do the pool, but when I'm telling y'all that we had some weird mosquitoes this year, it's a whole nother... I'm not even going to broach the topic because we will have another episode on it later.
On just mosquitoes.
On just mosquitoes.
Yeah.
So let's end it right now so that I can have my mosquito episode.
All right.
Are we ending it? Or are we going to talk about why we screamed?
We can talk about why we screamed.
Okay. Well, we got to get through September then first.
Okay.
Okay. September... Tenet came out.
Yes.
George, tell the people about Tenet.
Tenet is awesome. And if you didn't like it, you know, I'll fight you.
That's it. You heard it here first, folks.
But only my Tenet people are going to get this. I'll fight
you. What's your Tenet people?
I don't know. The people that watch Tenet and like it.
Okay.
I'll fight you in the Christopher Nolan sense of fighting you. They'll know what that means. It's a mind puzzle. Tenet was awesome. It was challenging to follow, but worth it. It was an experience. So most movies you see today, you get everything in one viewing, and that's it. On the second viewing, you know, you'll kind of get a couple more details, and you'll just enjoy watching it. Tenet is a movie to be watched more than once. The action scenes are fantastic. The acting is fantastic. It's Christopher Nolan using all his superpowers of movie making magic. And so a cool, and I don't know if it's true, but it seemed true. He used less special effects in this movie than your traditional rom-com.
Where did you hear that?
Some article.
I would Google. Fact check that.
Okay, go ahead. Go fact check me.
There's no way you can use less special effects.
Am I talking about Tenet or are you talking about Tenet?
That was rude. I thought we was both talking about it.
What were your thoughts on it?
I was thinking, how could you use less special effects when you having people move backwards in time and doing a backwards fight than if Kate Hudson's like, sure would love strawberries on this Sunday.
Maybe it was CGI. That's what I meant by special effects. CGI, like CGI.
There's no way. Look, the only way is if seriously these ladies and these men in these rom-coms are way uglier than what they are in real person. And they got to redo every bit of their face and every frame.
We're recording on my phone, so I can't fact check anyway. Yeah. But what were your thoughts on Tenet?
I thought Tenet was a good movie. I thought I really enjoyed it. Had a high school art teacher, I've told you this before, that said, art is anything that is not cliche. He loved saying that to us all the time. Do something different. Do something different to express yourself. And that's art. I thought Tenet did something different. I thought it was art. Now, is it mass market appeal? Definitely not. Definitely not. It's almost lucky that it came out during COVID. I know that people will say, oh, it bombed because of COVID or whatever. They'll use an excuse. But to me, it was like, yeah, I kind of got lucky on that because now you have no excuse. You kind of have an excuse is what I'm trying to say. Before, you would have had no excuses. If people would have poo-pooed it, then they just would have been poo-pooing it during normal times. But you could say, oh, it was COVID. That's why. So I don't think it has mass market appeal because I think it's way too heavy. And you really do need to think a lot about it. And I'm not sure everybody is prepared to do that. A lot of people just want to go escape on a Friday night and just laugh or just cry. Some people just want to go cry. They want to go watch a drama and whatever. This requires you to really be thinking. So I enjoyed it big time. I know you enjoyed it big time, but I don't know if everybody would enjoy it big time.
It reminded me of the first time I saw The Matrix where, like, yeah, I saw it and I enjoyed it for the action and somewhat I understood the story. But then I saw it again and again and again. And each time I took something out of it that was pretty fantastic. References and things like that. And so I really can't wait to watch it again. It's coming out, I think, December 15th on DVD and stuff. So hopefully it gets onto streaming quickly because I want to just watch it a couple of times and just really digest the movie. I've been watching YouTube videos like explaining some parts of it because there's a little bit of a cult following over it. Like,
good. I'm glad. You know, good movie. I hope I'm wrong. This is one of those times that listen, y'all, I'm wrong a lot. I'm wrong 99.9% of the time. But I hope I'm wrong on this. I thought I really liked it. So I hope people follow it. But there is a thing that I know that there is a cult following on, and that is Nintendo, son. Another thing that happened in September, my beautiful husband, it was our 11th anniversary this year, he got me a Nintendo package for my Switch. And so I got Super Mario Nintendo 64, which was
your favorite game, you told me.
Donkey Kong 64. So Mario 64 was my second all-time fave, but Donkey Kong 64 is like my ultimate. But it came in a package with the Mario 64,
Mario Sunshine, and
Mario Kart.
No, Mario Galaxy.
Mario Kart.
No, Mario Galaxy.
Oh, well, I haven't gotten to it. It was three different games, and I've only just played 64 so far. So it's Galaxy?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So, the one that we used to race home to play.
Oh, really? That one? Okay. So I have only played Nintendo 64. Mario 64. We just had a blip. Sorry. That's the games that I love.
Okay. And so
anyway, I haven't played the other ones yet. I'm still on Mario 64 and coming to an end, almost beat it again, but loved it originally and can't wait to play. You know, I never played Mario Sunshine. I never played that.
Yeah, that's cool. That's what I thought the package was pretty cool.
Yeah, so I'm anxious
to play that. It's called Mario All-Stars. Pick it up.
So anyway, it was our anniversary, our 11th anniversary.
Mm-hmm.
That was fun.
Yeah.
I'd say, like, the 10th one's the big one, right?
Yeah.
So then you get an 11th one, and it's like, we're still in love, girl. fast forward to October, where we are just coming off of October. Big highlight for us was debates. The first debate, it was like, what the heck is happening?
Yeah.
And we were just like,
I mean, the only way that, I mean, I was, I'm not really into politics much. And even I knew that this was going to be a hot mess. And then you said, let's do some margaritas while we watch it.
Because I have the best ideas ever.
Yeah. And so that was a great time. We laughed a ton.
While drinking. Which is sad because you're not supposed to.
You're supposed to walk away.
But I think everybody had the same feeling we did, yeah, which is just like, what just happened?
What just happened?
Then, a throwback, I was putting together a puzzle for the vice presidential debate. When I was watching it on my phone upstairs in our little game room, and I took out my earbud at one point and told George, this is the most polite debate ever. Because they were just like, thank you, excuse me, let me finish, thank you, okay, can I speak? Thank you. All right. It was just like totally 180 opposite from the first one, which was a nice break.
Yeah.
But so we went through that, and I went through like more open houses in October than I think I've ever been on before. Normally I go through open houses and it's always raining, and I'm always scrambling to put out and pick up my signs in the middle of the rainstorm. This time every time was nice and sunny and bright, but it was a lot of open houses, and yeah. I was scrambling to try and get business. You know, we're on the tail end of this crazy thing that's affected all of our businesses, and I was scrambling to get clients and all. And that was a big thing for October for me, was the sheer amount of open houses.
That's good. That's good, though. I mean, it's paying off. You got some closings coming up, yeah. So that's pretty good. And then what we didn't really talk about up until recently was just how many hurricanes and developments in the Gulf of Mexico was
Gulf of what? Mexico?
Mexico.
Where's Mexico?
It's to the right over there.
Okay.
And so we dodged about 6 big storms / hurricanes in New Orleans here. But then the most recent one finally got us, Zeta.
You don't say Alpha and Zeta. You say Alpha and Zeta.
Right? And so it hit us this last Wednesday, about 5 days ago. Kind of a scary storm. Category 2.
Almost a 3.
Almost a 3.
It was like, I heard it was like less than 5 miles per hour, less than being a Category 3 storm. That's what our parish president said.
Wow. And luckily, our house is buffeted by 2 other big houses next to us. So that's, the storm was coming. The winds were coming from that direction and the rain. So it helped a lot, not cause a lot of damage. But unfortunately, some people in our neighborhood lost fences. A lot of shingles flew off the roof. But we were just in this house listening to this thing. And so if you've ever been in a storm like that, it's just annoying. Everything matters.
Yes.
Like you hear a creak or something scramble across the roof or something break out. You're like, is that us? What happened? And so you get up every 5 seconds to walk around.
Yeah. So we're officially into the Hurricane Zeta part of the talk now. So I will tell you, previously, there's only been there was another storm. Was it Hurricane
Isaac?
Isaac. Yeah, I think it was. George and I lived in a different house when we moved down here from New York. And there was a hurricane that came. And I can't remember what category Isaac was. But I said, we should leave for this one. And George agreed. And so we left and we went to Houston for a week. Shout out to my friend Anna, if she listens to this podcast. But we went to Houston and stayed with Anna, and I'm glad we did because they were without power for a full 7 days. We couldn't come back right away because the house was still without power. So we kept putting off coming back from Houston. And when we got back, we were missing some shingles on our roof. We had some shingle damage. So we know like it got pretty intense, and I'll have to look up again what category Isaac was, but without power, lost some shingles. So ever since then, George hasn't left, and we've never felt compelled to leave. We've had a lot of misses, I guess. Even when it looked like last year, Hurricane Barry was coming our way. and we didn't leave. And Hurricane Barry ended up to be a little bit of a dud. Like, we were on the right side of the hurricane at that. Because if you're on the west side of a hurricane, you get less of an impact. If you're on the east side of a hurricane, you get more of an impact. It's just the dirty side, they call it. Mm. The dirty, dirty side. So we haven't left since then.
How do you like your hurricanes?
Dirty. So we haven't left since then, and that was years ago. That was at least like six years ago or 7 years ago. So this year, like George said, six tropical storms / hurricanes came into the Gulf. Each one of them was headed straight for New Orleans until the last minute, and they would all take a turn, like a day or two before, and go to like Lake Charles or Mississippi or somewhere else. This one, the last one, appropriately named Zeta, the last one. We had to move on to the Greek alphabet. Like, normally it's a person's name, like Hurricane Camille or Hurricane Katrina. When you run out of names for a season, you go into an alphabet. So we're on Z of that. That's how many storms there have been this year. For people who are not from here and don't maybe realize that. But it's been active. So we get on this one, and they're like, yeah, it's coming straight. This one was so much faster, right?
Yeah.
The other ones we had like full weeks ahead of time where they kept talking about it and talking about it. This one was like, we got another one stirring up in the Gulf.
Oh, it's here.
Zeta's coming. And then all of a sudden was like, oh, it's here, girl. You in danger, girl. And we're like, what?
Strap down, buckle up. It's going to be a ride.
It was almost too late to leave. I mean, I guess you could have left. Let's be real. You could have left. But we're just like, no, I guess we'll ride. And they're saying, oh, it's going to hit. It's just a tropical storm, but it's moving fast, and it should hit as a Category 1. And we're like, okay, all right, that's fine. And all of a sudden, it was like, it's a Category 1. It's going to hit as a Category 2. That's it. We're signing off. Good night. And we're like, what in the world? No, this sucker was moving so fast and so powerful that it was almost a Category 3 when it hit us. And we were just like, no, we're going to stay. We've been staying. We haven't left. We've been staying. Girl, tell the people what it was like to be in an almost Category 3 storm. Did it feel like any moment the roof was going to fly off?
Yeah. It was just no fun.
You couldn't rest. Like, you couldn't rest. Every 5 seconds, it felt like something hit the top of our house with a force. Something howled like a dang on like
banshee,
like Hounds of Baskerville type of situation, or something clanked against the house, or it was just like a thunderous movement of wind that you felt was hitting our house. It was just nonstop, and I just kept praying for it to end. So it hit on Wednesday. So they kept saying it's going to come around Wednesday, 1 o'clock. Well, Wednesday, 1 o'clock comes and the sky gets a little dark, but barely anything. The wind's picking up a little bit. And I'm like, well, now they're saying between 1 and 3. 3 o'clock, it should be here. So what does Donna's old dumb butt do? She starts to bake bread. I put some dough in my KitchenAid. And I'm like, I'm going to bake some sunflower seed bread. A dum-dum. I put it in the mixer, get it all mixed up, and I let it prove for 2 hours. And that sucker is a rising, y'all. It was Great British Bake Off material, okay? I'm not lying. Mary Berry would have come and said, that's a right good bit of bread you have there. Paul Holly would have said, it's good. It's real good. It's a good proof. And I punch it down, because that's what you do. You finish the first proof, you punch it down, and I'm like, I'm putting it in for 30 minutes for the second proof, and then I'm going to bake it. I put it back, I start doing something, I start cooking dinner on the stove, the lights go out. Here's why we just teared in the previous episode. Our lights were out for 4 days. 4 days. We have been without power 4 days since the beginning of that hurricane. We have not had power in our house. I think the next episode will tell you all about it. We'll tell you all about more about Hurricane Zeta. We'll go into what happened, what we did, and we'll actually be current with y'all currently. But for now, just know the bread didn't survive. Mm-mm. I had to throw the dough out. I had to throw other things out that were in the fridge. But we were safe and sound, and we'll get more into currently what it was like to be in a hurricane on the next episode.
Of Currently with George and Donna. Love you, baby.
Bye, baby.